Hello.
Hi, Zach. We are good to go.
Alrighty, sounds great.
All right. So let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major or majors.
Majors.
Yeah, so I graduated in 2016. It was when I walked. I had actually crammed some courses together to end up finishing course and classwork in the summer of 2015. So that was actually the last semester I was there at Berkeley. And my major was EPD, Electronic Production Design. So
Awesome. And your principal instrument?
piano.
Cool. All right. We will get to your history later, but for now, tell us about your current job. Where do you work? What do you do?
Yeah, so I work at Microsoft out of the Redmond headquarters office under the Microsoft Stores platform, so e-commerce and the digital online store. And there, basically, what my main job is managing new product launches for Xbox. So whether it's a new console or game bundle or controller, headset, special edition things, anything that's new, secret hardware, fun Xbox things. me and the team that I work with and manage the onboarding of those new products to make sure that a customer can go onto Microsoft.com, buy a product that is new, is actually buyable. Looking at all of the marketing materials and storytelling, and just general content, both visual and copy, and if there's videos, all that kind of good stuff, specifically for Xbox on stores. So,
Okay, so it sounds like it's specifically for the Microsoft site. Like you're not involved in promotional materials for Xbox, which is, sold at Best Buy and whoever, many other places.
correct. So I specifically work for Microsoft. Yeah, and now it's not just US. We do manage like the whole of Microsoft stores everywhere the marketplace is available. So something like 25 countries, most in North America, Europe, and Asia. So, but yeah, specifically for Microsoft.com e-commerce platform.
Got it. And you said you manage it, the product. How big a team is your team?
Yeah, so we have a couple managers that work with that I work with on a daily basis for just getting the whole operation together. So that's just two or three of us. And then I also manage all the teams that go into building and launching successfully a product. So that would be a site operations and web production team. So they'll actually take the content that we give them and build out the web page for a product, build out the marketing pages for new products. They will load up all of the products information, SKUs, pricings, launch times, because like I said, it's a global operation with a lot of countries, a lot of different moving pieces. So that's one team, which is probably maybe 10 to 20 people, I would say. They kind of work very closely together. And then we have a category team. So a category team manages the actual product. So when it's coming in from the manufacturers, say overseas, we do a lot of this manufacturing in China. So it'll come in to all the distribution centers in each hub. So, it will have one in the US, one in Canada, a couple in Europe, et cetera. And they'll help us manage actually getting that product out to customers and making sure when somebody buys something online, the back end is product is shipping to them. So that's another probably I would say two to three per region. So we have a two to three in North America, another three or so in Europe, and three or four in the Asia Pacific region. And then we will also have site merchandisers that work regionally. So we'll have, again, in each region, North America, Asia, and Europe, that manage the site and manage products post-launch. So we'll be responsible for getting the newest and latest and greatest things up there and available to purchase. And then they'll manage, the ongoings of the site maintenance, promotional material, things like that. So that's, again, another half a dozen to 10 people or so. So those are the scope of the people that I personally manage with our team. and on the day to day to make new product launches happen for Microsoft.
Great. And what's your job title?
So I'm a global product launch readiness manager. all up just the readiness of product launch for these new products. So.
Okay, that's an awesome title. Would you be offended if I declared you a product manager?
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, product manager is probably more specific to the actual creation of a feature on a product, whether that be a software or hardware feature or all up a product together. Whereas for my role, it would be more of a customer journey manager or customer experience manager.
Like more marketing, you think?
Yeah, and it's marketing about getting the product out and available. So I would report to a product marketing director. Yes, it is under that kind of shield. But other term, project manager, program manager for these, you know, products that end up coming out would also be appropriate.
Sure. And then another question for then. I apologize if I missed it in your description of your job. There are managers who literally have underlings, right? You write the person's performance review, might be in charge of hiring decisions. And then there are people such as many product managers who have the word manager in their title, but they're not anybody's boss.
Correct. The latter is me. Yeah. While I do manage like the teams, like I had just spoke of previously, and, you know, getting all of that information together for successful launches, they are not reporting to me directly for performance and that kind of thing. I'm not a people manager, just a manager of, yeah, product or program.
Got it. So about how many hours a week do you work?
Oh, that's a fun question. Luckily at Microsoft, we have a very respectful balance for work and life. And it's not so overwatching of people's time on task, so long as people are getting their work done and projects are launching successfully and things are going as they should. It is really up to the individual. So on a busy week, of course, I could be working a full normal 40-hour situation. But for instance, this week it is a little bit lighter, and I could say 10 to 20 hours of really time on task work could be average, you know. But that being said, I do make myself available when things come up to stay on top of things. Let's say if I'm taking a longer than normal lunch or something like that. We also work with teams overseas, like I mentioned, so I will often start work a little early, get things taken care of with the Europe team, and then maybe have some free time during the day to go about my business. I work from home, so you know how that kind of story goes. And then come back online in the evening to chat with Asia folks and people based in Singapore and Australia, since that time zone is, you know, about 5, 6, 7, 8 o'clock for me here. So it gets broken up, but it's very flexible.
Understood. So if I hear right, you're not creating the marketing materials. You're just getting it all together and...
Correct. Yes. So we work with a design department in Microsoft, as well as an all-up like product marketing group that will gather and create that content. And then our job is as readiness managers is to get all of this together in one centralized place and publish what we call a product description page, where the product will live on the site. And getting together all of the back-end stuff that supports purchasability and availability. So, yeah, I'm not creating that content creatively.
Sure. So could you take us through, like, what a typical work day is for you, kind of hour by hour?
Sure, yeah. So, like I said, in the morning, I will usually connect before the rest of the admin team in Washington gets online with the Europe team. So let's just say we have a product launch on Friday. I'll make sure that, hey, is inventory already set, good to go? Is it in the right place in the distribution centers? So when we publish, you know, everything is working right. And usually I'll get a yes or a no, or, hey, we need to look into this and that. Maybe there's been some pricing changes last minute that we need to process on our side, and just kind of make sure that the team in Europe is ready to go for the launch that's happening Friday, right? Once they're offline, I will likely have a chat with our site production team, site operations and web production teams that are actually building and taking in this information and coding out pages. They will definitely let me know if there's anything that's being blocked for them. Otherwise, it's lovely when they're like, oh yeah, Zach, everything is good to go, no issues. Because they're the ones actually, like I said, coding out the page, building the page, and eventually pressing the publish button when it's go time. If there are issues, I'll have to go back to maybe that Europe team and say, hey, Europe, we've got an issue with this one particular SKU. Can you fix it for me? And then they'll take care of that. And it's the back and forth, you know, and it's a lot of like wrangling of information and people. Then in the afternoon, I'll probably have a team sync with the other folks in my position that work under Xbox still. So just to kind of connect on the happenings of the day, as we usually work in tandem on the same projects. So that's usually a fairly casual call that we do, working sessions, things like that.
How many of you are there?
So there's one additional woman that I work with in the same position, and then we have a team lead, and the three of us kind of take care of each other when needed. We can kind of flow into each other's positions and that kind of thing. So just to make sure all things are covered. But yeah, there's three of us that work in our little trio. And then later in the afternoon or evening, again, same kind of deal. I would connect with the Asia Pacific folks in Sydney and Singapore and Tokyo. So that would happen around 7 o'clock my time. So same kind of conversation. Hey, is everything good to go for this Friday's launch, for instance? Are there anything outstanding, things like that? So we also have working sessions with those teams to gather the game plans. So let's say Tokyo wants to go live with a product at 10 a.m. local time, and Australia wants to go live at 9 a.m. local time, and they're going to have slightly different business requirements for a launch. Let's say Japan has a pricing change that they're going to make public day of, and it's going to be like a big deal because we haven't increased pricing in Japan in years, you know. So there's all these, like, you know, little oddities that could come up in any particular launch that we'll use those calls to kind of work through and build a game plan to make sure everybody's aligned to the same idea, and there's no surprises when we go ahead and press publish. And this all happens probably 6, 8, 10 weeks out of a product launch, when the process starts with all the people that I've just been talking about. So we have quite a large runway, generally speaking, unless things kind of change last minute. So,
and like, how many new products do you launch in a given month?
So last year, of course, I can't have stuff coming up, but last year we had a slightly slower year with new product launches just because of supply chain issues. It was just hard to get things made. So I would say that in the entire year, we probably launched 10 to 12 new products. You know, springtime was busier last year than fall time. But fall time we had, some new like promo kind of things coming out. So we could say we're going to give you a Series S, Xbox, and you're going to get a game included with that. So that is kind of, treated as a new product launch. It has a new page, it has new details, it has new marketing materials. So that is considered like a new product launch. So, last year, like I said, probably about a dozen to 14 or so.
Got it. Great. By the way, I was just looking. I think I'm going to put you, from where you describe, under my heading administration rather than marketing, unless you feel like you're doing marketing content.
Yeah. No, that's totally fine. I mean, really, it's an operations kind of position too, you know, where it's just, managing the operations and flow of like go to market for these new products. So it is less of the typical marketing that you would go to a page just to like read all about it and the new fancy stuff with the new fancy pictures and videos and that. It's more of like when you're shopping on Amazon and you see that page where you can actually buy the thing, has a product description, some disclaimers, pictures, etc., and then making sure everything behind that backs up the experience for the customer.
Sure. Cool. So next question I have for you is, one of the criteria you had to hit to qualify for these interviews is that you enjoy what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it about being a, you know, product launch business manager that you enjoy?
Yeah, good question, because it does seem a little bit boring maybe on the surface, but a couple of reasons. The work from home and the flexibility and responsibility that I have at the job to get my work done when I want to or when I can or when it's just feasible, and the work-life boundary and the culture that Microsoft has is really healthy and very professional. So that's kind of number one, why I do enjoy working there, because I have worked at other tech companies that weren't quite the same. So that was definitely number one or two. Second reason is, you know, the scale and the impact of the actual work. I mean, when you're talking about managing products for a household name, a household company, and in so many different markets, you're not just, you know, managing for Canada or something like that. It is cool to see the scope of these launches and the impacts that they do have. It is kind of funny. I don't game myself and never had an Xbox or anything like that. So coming into it, that was like a lot of the question I got, you know, friends and family or even coworkers like, oh, you know, do you game? You try the new game out? I'm like, to be honest, I haven't. So the job isn't so much about the gaming and stuff, but more about that impact. And then I've also always been interested in tech. I suppose you could call me an Apple fanboy when I was a kid and in college and stuff like that. Being at Berkeley and in the EPD program, obviously it's all about tech. That's what attracted me to EPD in the first place. And it just really crossed over very well. So after college, I went to be like a Mac technician and worked
we'll
on.
We'll be doing that in detail like momentarily.
For sure. But so I think that's what I really enjoy about it. You know, I also get to meet people from all over the world. Same as Berkeley, you know, there's just people from every country with every background. And it's great to be able to interact with these people on a daily basis, as opposed to people that you might be sitting next to in a cubicle. So a few different reasons, but definitely happy doing what I'm doing for now.
That's terrific. Okay, so yeah, as I hinted, we'll take it back now to 2016 or 2015. Although, if you feel your story is a logical earlier starting point, we can take it back sooner.
Sure.
And I mean, I'm guessing you're not thinking, you know, working in operations for Microsoft. Could be wrong. But you know, put us in your headspace as things are finishing up Berkeley. And then we'll take it one step at a time from there to where you are now, both what you were doing, but also like where you were at mentally in terms of career.
Sure. Gosh, I was really all over the place, to be quite honest. I felt like as a kid and growing up through high school, I was really good at the piano. So I should do something with that, right? And I did like music, but I did like music in a kind of engineering type of way, like theory and just classical music and just really playing the crap out of the piano, you know? And I think that, you know, when you're good at something, you have a tendency to stick with it. But I was also like very interested in tech and things. So at the end of college, I had this like tech mindset and tech interest, both from personal life and from EPD.
By the way, can I ask where you grew up? Are you from Washington?
No, I'm actually from Chicago. My family is from Chicago and lived here most all my life, and then before I moved to Boston for school and then later Washington. So,
cool.
Yeah. So I was really kind of all over the place, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do even finishing up college. So I was really kind of focusing in on the computer and tech side of EPD, especially sound design, and then also the marketing and branding. So there was a couple classes like jingle writing and you know, music for branding and things like that. So I was really thinking I would end up either doing some kind of sound design or some kind of production for like an advertising or marketing company. But I really wasn't sure how to get there, to be quite honest. So when I was finishing up Berkeley, I had an internship, a very kind of like laissez-faire internship at American Idol with one of the band members that played on the show. So I kind of got like an insight into what daily life could be in like a real life production studio. You know, I said that I was really interested in playing the piano, so that was also a path that I would have loved to go down, but I wasn't sure I had the gusto because I think it's a lot of hard work to stay in these social circles and network and just really get yourself out there and also be a really fantastic player. So I kind of set that aside and I was like, okay, let's focus on production or the sound design thing that I've become pretty good at, you know, through EPD and Berkeley and stuff. And then I worked for, right after college, I worked on the side for a production studio in LA, just remotely back in Chicago, just doing audio editing at first. So there was a couple documentaries for like PBS or something where I would get narration and edit that for the show. I also did some Foley and sound design for some sitcom that was like pretty low level on the Verizon Fios network or something like that. I don't even remember what it was called, to be honest. So I was trying to do that and I really was looking for a full-time job where I could do just that audio editing and that kind of sound design and production. Sure. That posed to be extremely difficult. So I ended up getting a job at Apple as a technician.
So like at an Apple store?
Yes, in Chicago, yeah, as a technician. And just it really was hand in hand from EPD and just general tech interest. I just knew everything there was to know already about Macs and, you know, Apple stuff. So it was a very easy fit for a paycheck. And,
you fixing stuff.
Correct, yeah. Like fixing computers, taking apart computers, taking out logic boards and all that kind of stuff.
Ballpark a little over 20 an hour, if I'm correct, or
I think I started at 16 and ended that journey at 26 an hour. So, you know, there was a bit of a swing there in the couple of years I did that. Lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, so the full-time gig doing the production and the sound design, it was just there were not a lot of companies hiring to do that thing. When there was work, there was a lot of freelance stuff. The biggest opportunity I found is as far as like job postings and other friends that were kind of looking to do the same thing was in game studios, doing sound design. I still have my freshman roommates, that I'm still in touch with, both work at game studios doing sound design. So, they definitely found a niche there. But I was kind of on another path now with the tech stuff at Apple, and I kind of wanted to head down this path. I found myself to be really interested in technology, and figured that, you know, maybe there would be more easily achievable income, money, success there too. But that's kind of where my head was right at the end of school and getting into my first couple jobs. So,
yeah. And by the way, how do you get the job at the Apple store? Just applied?
Yeah, I just applied. I actually tried to get a job there just part-time when I was in at Berkeley, but a lot of traveling back and forth to home and holidays, and it was a pretty demanding work schedule, and I don't really think it worked out. But I had applied, and you know, a friend of a friend knew somebody that put in a good word for me at the first place I worked with Apple, so that's how I ended up first getting that job, yeah.
All right, so you're there at the Apple store for about 2 years?
Yeah, that's probably a good time frame.
And then what happened next?
So next up, I thought, you know what, I still like this music stuff, and you know, I don't know if Apple's going to come to fruition like I wanted it to either. So let me just see what's going on with the branding, the music branding, audio branding, sound design, audio logos, this kind of thing. Me and another friend from Berkeley, we were sitting at a cafe in Chicago, And I was kind of mad, and I'm just like, you know what, we just need to go sit down, and I need to just blast my resume out to some companies, right? So we sit down, and I find this company called PHMG, Please Hold Marketing Group, which is actually based in London, but they have a second headquarters here in Chicago. So I go, okay, you know, let me check this out. And the title was Head of Music and Voice, which later got changed to Head of Creative. And, you know, a lot of experience. And I was like, I don't know if this is going to, this sounds a lot like higher up than I could probably achieve realistically. But nonetheless, I sent in my application, and I got a call, and I was like, huh, interesting. Okay. Maybe I can do this. So sat the interview, at their Chicago office. The director of the team ended up actually being a Berkeley grad. So funnily enough, he had taken the job when they first started to explore expanding to the U.S. We connected, got along, did a mock presentation about how I would present sound design and branding, audio branding, to a company that knew nothing about it. You know, how could this be good for your company, et cetera. Ended up getting that job, which was going to be located in Washington. So I was going to be the West Coast rep for this position. So what I would do there, and I really did like this job, I would be the liaison to the start of a new project. So I would go to, let's just say it's a construction company, right? Bob's Big Construction Company in Washington. And they the salespeople at PHMG got a contract with them to create all their audio branding material. So I would go visit them in their physical office, all up and down the West Coast. So I managed Vancouver, Seattle and Washington area, Portland, Oregon area, and all of Northern California. So all the way from San Francisco up to, you know, nearly the Oregon border. So that was a great job. Got to fly around, drive around, meet all kinds of cool people. And when I did meet those people, I would sit down and give them a presentation on what sound design is, and how it could be used to make their marketing material great. So their biggest sell point at PHMG was a phone and audio system. So on hold marketing, you would get on the phone. When you're on hold, they have, let's just call it a theme song for a jingle, a sonic branding of music for their company that's been specifically made for them, not pulled out of a library. And then voiceover to go over that. So we would go into a meeting and just figure out how their brand would sound through like this little presentation and kind of going through, you know, what the brand needs for a song.
So that would actually count as a music job, I think.
Yes. Yeah, but that was short-lived, unfortunately, but it was a great job for a little bit. Really did enjoy it. And then, you know, I would go back to composers and get that all started, the process, and they would actually do the composing. They'd say, hey, Zach, how does this sound, et cetera. And then I would handle the final delivery back to the client. And then COVID hit. So that's why I bring that up, is just the what happens next, because that was my way back into doing that. And then, yeah, things changed. So with my experience at Apple, and then my experience as basically a project manager for, you know, this music company.
And then you got laid off because of COVID.
Right. Yes. Yes. I know. Short lived, but great nonetheless. I just really was just putting out feelers and was trying to apply. Tech companies are notoriously difficult to talk to somebody, you know, get an interview, et cetera. And I found a message in my inbox just saying, hey, we think we could use you for this position. Would you be interested? You know, I think we have good experience, et cetera. You know, would love to have a chat. And the rest is back to the first story I told about Microsoft and what I do. So this job started in, what, May of 2020 during COVID. So
when you say you got inbox, you had applied to Microsoft first, I assume, and then.
So actually, I did not, which was the real shocker, because I had applied to, you know, what feels like 1,000 jobs, and having a hard time getting a hold of people or whatever. Like I said, these companies are notoriously tricky, and so I don't know if my application.
Probably one of their internal recruiters reached out.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah, but it was not for a job that I had applied to. So that was kind of unique, but yes, nonetheless, an internal recruiter did reach out for this position.
Cool. And so then hired into your current job.
Yep, that's it. Yeah, it was told me I had the job right on the interview, which was again surprising, but it was all very smooth, very quick, and things really changed from there.
And were you already living within commuting distance of the job, or?
Yes, I was. However, Microsoft had just changed the policy with COVID to be permanently remote, so no need to go into the office. So, funnily enough, I've been there for, excuse me, almost 2 years or so, yeah. And I haven't even been into the office once, so kind of funny.
That's funny. Almost 3 years, right?
Yeah. Wow. I guess what 2020 plus it'll be, yeah, this summer. Yeah, almost 3 years this summer. Wow, my gosh.
Awesome. Okay, so next we'll move on to the third part of the interview of three. And next, I'm going to preface this question by saying there's no right or wrong answer. So these days, and let's define these days as like the later part of 2022 into early 2023 now, what, if anything, is your relationship with music?
Yeah, so right after college, my girlfriend, my now girlfriend, we met doing music, and we had a little group that was just making some cool pop electronic-y kind of music and gigging around. We don't do the gigging around unless creation, but that kind of spirit exists still for us. So, and the back half of 2022 and 2023, I still sit in my office, aka home studio, with my piano and speakers and that, and we were listening to music all the time and play just like the two of us for fun here and there. So
And
it's
sorry,
mostly.
when you say play for fun, can you just quantify? Are you saying you play just the two of us in your living room, or do you ever like go out and do an open mic or a gig or something?
Yeah, now and in the last year or so, it's just playing at home, friends and family coming over, or it's just us hanging out, mucking around, because I still have all the equipment up and stuff like that. It is just for us. Recently, though, I have been asked to join a little gigging band on the weekends every once in a while. There's something like that with a friend of mine. So I am considering that. So could be out gigging a little bit next year or over summer. Let's
Okay,
see.
cool. And as I said, there's no right or wrong answer. I've gotten
Yeah,
quite
yeah.
the
But
spread.
it's still, music's still a part of our lives, that's for sure. But not so much in a serious working way to be earning a living.
Yep, understood. Okay, so next question I have for you. Thinking about your current job as a product launch business manager. Readiness manager, sorry. It almost certainly, I'm guessing, requires a college degree, but not a music degree per se. And so that there might be an alternate universe where you went to a different college and ended up where you are. But let's say this, besides it being a bachelor's degree, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for your current career?
Yeah, so backing up slightly, oddly enough, this job does not require a degree. My coworker does not have a degree, and she's always telling me, I feel bad that I don't have a degree for this job. But I'm like, you're here all the same, so it doesn't matter. Now, that being said, there are plenty of jobs that you would require the skills of a degree at Microsoft to have, especially in engineering and things like that. But the skills that I learned at Berkeley, that would help me in my current job. I think that people skills and the ability to talk to just about anyone from just about anywhere, is a skill that is very important to my current role that I may not be so lucky to have if I hadn't gone to Berkeley. There's like a just a wealth of different kinds of people at Berkeley, which was part of the reason that attracted me to Berkeley in the first place. Just meeting people from all over and still being friends with people from all over from that experience. So I think that is very important. I think the other thing that really set me up in a series of events to Apple first and Microsoft second is the tech the technology degree, you know, the EPD degree, and all of the classes and knowledge that came from that was very important to making the day-to-day of the technology part of both jobs easy peasy. You know, it's like kind of playing an instrument and you're really using a computer to its fullest potential. And that was a huge learning from school. So people and tech are the two tops for me.
All right, that's great. Let's turn that around now, because, you know, you got your degree from Berkeley and you've had a pretty good career path since, and you're in a great place now. And all that said, is there anything where you look back at your Berkeley education and you say, no, hey, it would have been really helpful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
How to do my taxes. No, I'm kidding. You know, that's a good question. And, you know, I think that the job networking or I don't know how to phrase this. I guess being like set up to enter the real world of applying for jobs and what the culture looks like in music, I think could have been helpful because let me try and clarify, I guess, as I'm trying to just spit out my train of thought here. I think there's a lot of professors at Berkeley that probably went through a similar experience, because music is such a challenging industry for a typical kind of 9-to-5-esque job, you know. I think that if there were some kind of class of like entry into the workforce in the field of music or audio, because it's very different to, you know, let's say tech, you know, I can apply for a job, or maybe I have a network that says, hey, there's an open thing, I can put in a good word for you. Music is totally different. You know, there, it's a different like cultural landscape with A, your network, B, your skills in music, B, the kind of jobs that are even available. Half the time, these positions aren't just posted online for you to apply to. You know, you have to know somebody to know somebody to end up playing piano on the American Idol pit band. You know what I mean? So I think the professors at Berkeley would likely have a lot of great experience to share on a topic like that, if it were to be distilled in a kind of almost like a 101 class for freshmen, but for seniors on exit strategy.
Got it. Very fair. Can I actually follow that up just a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Did you, because we do have a course called, at this point, called the Professional Development Seminar that everyone has to take. Was that around when you were there and you didn't find it adequate, or was that not part of your education?
Yeah, you know what? It was part of like the non-music curricular, right? I wouldn't have had like a music teacher teaching that, right?
I mean, it's officially a liberal arts course, although there are lots of, I'd say half of the sections or two-thirds are taught by music faculty, even though it's officially liberal arts.
I feel like maybe I had a guy named Joe Miglio. I don't know if that rings a bell.
Yeah, he's one of the people who teaches it.
Yes. Okay, so yeah, that class was actually great. I really did enjoy that class, and I don't know why I'm not remembering. I feel like it was more Sorry, I'm really botching this section of the interview, but I did take a lot from that class, but maybe I was just not in the right place to apply it, or maybe it was more applicable to like these kind of more normal gigs. Let's skip that.
It's all good. Like, may not have been as hands on. It's fine. I was just, you know,
yeah.
If you found him like lacking, that's great. But I just wanted to sort of get my handle on, did you wish there was a course that there is now, or do you wish it'd been a little different?
Sure, yeah. But I do specifically remember that being a great course. I did enjoy Joe as a teacher particularly. And yeah, I did enjoy that class.
Gotcha, very cool. So question I have for you now is, you know, you got – I'm not going to say you had a straight arrow-like path to your job, But
Yeah, definitely
I've
not.
definitely seen more pretzel-like paths too. You know,
Sure.
you sort of moved in this direction, and then, at one point the pandemic hit, and you had to leave that. But now you'd had a bunch of experience on the more business ops end, and and in tech, and you were a good fit for your job, and it seems like you're doing well.
Right, yeah, agreed.
So, let's say maybe not everyone has found that path or realized they're on that path. And of course, there are plenty of people like you were just talking about at Berkeley, kind of staring out into the world, wondering what comes next. So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Yeah, I wanted this advice when I was there and probably got it in bits and pieces, but I think you really have to continue after what you find most interesting, and what feels the easiest when you're doing it. Because I felt that for some of the things I thought I may have been interested in, like the sound design thing, I thought, I went to Berkeley and I got this CPD degree and I should probably be doing something with the sound design. It always felt like work. I felt like I didn't really enjoy the actual projects or going after that. And that like kind of gut feeling, it turned out to be something I needed to listen to, because I wouldn't have been happy, doing sound design for like a game studio, for instance, like my other friends are doing. I just didn't think it was the right thing for me. And while I still liked playing and stuff, I kind of decided that that was maybe not the right path either, even though I still enjoyed playing. So I thought, what am I just interested in? What feels easy for me to do? And not necessarily an easy path to go down, but something that I'm enjoying when I'm doing it. And I just thought, I've just always been interested in technology, and it just kind of became it just came into fruition because of my interest in it. So I would say just listen to your gut. And don't push things that maybe aren't working, whatever that might be.
Sure, very, very fair. And let's zoom in a little bit. I think I mentioned, I think you're my 221st interview, plus or minus one. So no one's listening to all 220
Yeah,
something.
that's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, but the people who are going to be here again, I'm going to put you in under the administrative title and project manager. You're going to be one of five people in that group.
Sure.
So I think anybody who's listening to this interview is perhaps thinking about project manager as a possible career, right? You can work at tech or at a lot of different industries, really, but you typically don't have to go get a master's degree for it, in case, as you just said, maybe not even a bachelor's. And it can be it's sort of. There's a lot of little problems you solve. You get to be in communication, but you're not trying to sell something. I mean, there's a lot to recommend it as a career. So for someone who's not yet doing it, but is thinking project manager might be a cool career path, what specific advice do you have for them?
Well, I would say that, if you're thinking about something like that, you have to be detail oriented in like a kind of a alpha I'm in charge way. So when my friends and family ask, like, what do you actually do? And could I do it if I really wanted to? And I say, well, if you can be in charge of planning a vacation with a dozen people and getting the reservations, booking the cars, making sure everybody's on time to their flights, and just herding the crowd and making sure things actually come to fruition. If you think in your mind's eye that you could do that successfully, you could definitely be a project manager, a program manager, even at these like larger tech companies. And more times than not, there are so many people working at these larger companies that you're so in your lane, it makes it even easier because they've got 1,000 people doing 1,000 different smaller kind of things, So I would say for those people that are looking to do this, like keep on that path of the mentality at least. And then really, a place like LinkedIn or Glassdoor or whatever is your best friend. Typing in keywords about the project manager, program manager, readiness manager, just all these different keywords that not seem I mean, I didn't know where to start when I was looking. I didn't even know what the job titles were called. Typing in just, marketing manager, product manager, like you were saying earlier, and just reading about these job positions and what they might involve. Because if you don't know the first step, I think the best first step is just to start taking in information, reading all, like I said, these job postings and what they might be about. And some things will speak out to you more than others. Even if I were to be looking for a new position now, I might not know what's a few steps ahead of me. So I'll just get on and start reading and see what I start identifying with, and then kind of funneling down from there. So I think that's the best first step, in trying to go down a path like this, is just start learning what you don't know just by typing stuff in and having a go at what's there.
That's terrific. All right, Zach, well, I just have one last question for you, which is, you have the mic. Is there anything we missed or anything else you'd like to say?
I think that coming out of college, I thought that I would have it more together than I did. That's for sure. I thought I was going to have an internship set up and my first job set up and everything was going to be hunky-dory. And if it doesn't work just like that, which it likely won't, it's not a bad thing, but just keep forging down the path of the thing that you're interested in, one way or another, like I said, by just reading what you don't know, searching for things that you don't know, and just taking in information, and the path will illuminate once you start doing that, and keep on it, and it's something that you're interested in, and don't feel that guilty conscience about giving something up that maybe isn't right for you, if that's the case. And change is not necessarily a bad thing. So who knows? If you talk to me in 10 years, I'll probably be working in a restaurant or something. I don't know. So.
Understood. Great. So thank you, Zach, again for making the time here. I really enjoyed this conversation.
For sure. Yeah. Thanks for reaching out. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.